Well, I missed y'all last week. I enjoyed being with my wife and spending a night away and getting away and seeing Michaela. We hadn't seen her since Christmas, and that was been a long time. So, and she'd been away in London as well and studying, supposedly, seeing all these plays and that sort of thing. But last week you looked at the virtue of love in the Believe series. We started a new section of the book, and Pastor Cody, I heard, did an excellent job of talking about love and what's love got to do with it. Heard he even sang to you, the Tina Turner stuff. Well, you know what? I can't be outdone about that. That's coming. I'm not going to sing that song, but we'll make mention of something else. But love has everything to do with it, if we're a believer and a follower of Jesus, right? Amen? Because one cannot be Jesus's, if we refuse to love him and love each other as he's commanded us. Says the servant is to be what? Like the master. Love for God and people is the identifying mark of a true disciple of Christ. The identification of someone who really is a Christian and gets what Jesus is all about. The love of God is the light of which the church is to be the beacon. The church is to be the oasis of love to a love-starved world. Now here's this thing. As Johnny Lee sang, anybody know who Johnny Lee is? There's no country fans here. Oh my word. Looking for love. Yeah, there you go. Who sang that? Somebody knew it. Was that? No one's admitting I listen to country music. But in this song by Johnny Lee back in the 80s, 1980s, and if you knew the movie, it was John Travolta, and it was, Urban Cowboy or something like that? Whatever it was. This is the part of the verse. It says, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces. Search in their eyes, looking for traces of what I'm dreaming of. Hoping to find a friend and a lover, I'll bless the day I discover another heart looking for love. I actually read through that whole song and I'm going, he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about God. If you were to read that way, this displays what's upon everybody's heart in the world. We just want to be known. We want people to know our name. We want to be loved. I'm going, well, if I was talking to John Lee, I'd go, that song there, I'd point you to Jesus. That unknown God that you have displayed in your city center, let me tell you about him. His name is Jesus, and he loves you. Question is this, do you and I embody what the world is looking for? Do we embody that love that the world is looking for? Well, wait a second, Pastor. We're talking about joy, aren't we? We are. But love and joy go hand in hand. See, love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Same with joy. Love is God within, active, being come over by. Love is why Jesus came to this earth in the first place, to save humanity that had painted itself into the corner of sin and death and needed rescue. We celebrate Palm Sunday today, the day that Jesus chose to enter Jerusalem and begin the trials of ascent to Calvary to redeem men, women, and children from sin and death. It's supposed to be a joyous occasion of remembrance and celebration. Remembrance and celebration. Can you say amen? Amen? No, come on. Can you say amen?
Amen?
There. The Lamb who took away the sin of the world did so willingly and joyfully. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Is this a joyful day for you and me? Or is it just like any other day? Any other Sunday that we come to church? Hoping that God shows up. Is this a day that you'll celebrate, rejoice, and give thanks to Jesus for? Do we remember or do we know that the world is always looking for a reason to rejoice and celebrate? We need to give them that reason to rejoice and celebrate. Take the opportunity to share the joy of Jesus. Incidentally, part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, but there is also joy and peace and goodness and kindness and so forth. But we're talking about joy. Are you and I people filled with joy? When people look at you, do they see joy? When they're around you, do they experience joy? Are you and I a joy to be around? Ever met someone who is not joyful? You ever met somebody like that? Maybe you say, yeah, he stands up there every Sunday preaching to me. I hope you don't say that, because I don't mean to come across that way. But those that don't have joy, you know, they tend to be grumpy. Maybe gripers. Very negative about virtually everything that happens in life. Seemingly whining and complaining most of the time. And you know what? Some of us are even Christians. And that should not be. Do you like to hang around these people? Not usually. Why? Because they lack joy. You're bringing me down, you know? Their disposition tends to be hardwired directly to their circumstances at all times. Even when things are going well, you know what? They're not going quite well enough as I would like it. There's always something more. You know what I would nickname them? Joyless Jacks. Joyless Jacks. Are you and I a joyless Jack? One of my favorite stories is about a person with a grumpy personality. It begins with a man going into a doctor's office. As he walks in, he's met by a receptionist. He tells her that he has a sore on his chin that he wants the doctor to examine. She says to him, "Down the hall, first door to the right, and take off your clothes." "But ma'am," he said, "it's just a sore on my chin. I don't think all that is necessary." She repeated, "Down the hall, first door to the right, take your clothes off." "But ma'am," he said, "down the hall, first door to the right, take your clothes off." So he goes down to the hall, first door to the right, walks in, and he sees another man already sitting there in his boxer shorts, shivering. He said to him, "Boy, that receptionist is really something, isn't she? I just have a little sore on my chin, and she told me to come down here and go through this door and take off my clothes." The man in the boxer shorts says, "You think that's bad? I'm the UPS delivery man." Guys are laughing because you know, there's difficult people. And some of them, as you would say that Grandpa Phil, not Grandpa Phil here, but Grandpa Phil Robertson, you know who he is? Duck Dynasty. He said of some kids, he said, kids nowadays playing on their computers and all that, they need to put them down, go to Walmart and buy a personality. That's what he said. Now, I'm not getting after kids. Hey, don't go after me there. That was his example. But there's some people that way. Well, what's the definition of joy? Anybody have a definition of joy you can give me? What's joy? Mrs. Kruger. Well, yeah, that one fits. What's the definition of joy? Jesus and others in you. Okay? The overflowing of your spirit. Okay? What else? Being content in where you are. Okay? What else? Anybody else? Well, here's the definition of joy that I came up with. Joy is an evidence of the presence of God in your life. Joy is an evidence of the presence of God in your life. If God is not in your life, then are you filled with the Spirit? Because it says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. Do we know God? Are we connected with Him? When's the last time we connected with Him? If the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our life, it'll be obvious to everybody. Technically, joy in the Greek is the word chara. Say that, chara. Chara. And it means to rejoice. It's related to another Greek word called charis. Say that, charis. Which means grace. As if joy is a direct result of God's grace. Joy is a direct result of God's grace. True Christians, followers of Christ, rejoice because of why? God's grace. Are we thankful? Are we grateful? A biblical word picture that would fit this really well, and I read this up, I didn't come up with this myself, but this is what they would be using, is a young lamb or sheep skipping or frisking for joy. You ever seen that? Do I have to demonstrate that? Right? You'll never see it again. But that's joy. That's what the biblical word picture they're using here is of the young lamb or sheep skipping, frisking for joy. If you've ever seen on YouTube, you can watch these little animals, and I've seen one, and there's this one that's just jumping, playing with each other. The billy goats jumping over one another and jumping on top of one another and everything. It's amazing. That's the idea, is joy. Well, what's a current idea of joy that we could use if you don't want to use that? Any of you watched Winnie the Pooh? Who's your favorite character in Winnie the Pooh?
Tigger.
Right? Eeyore. Knew that was going to come out. Are you a Tigger or are you Eeyore? You know, that's usually the comparison. But Tigger is all about what? He's bouncing around. He's everywhere, sort of thing. Is that the definition of joy? It's kind of the idea that God wants us to have about joy. But the thing is, many of us mistaken joy and happiness. We make the mistake that they're interchangeable, that they are the same thing. And it's easy to do. But the Bible, I want you to know, mentions joy or rejoicing 330 times. How many times does it mention happiness? 26 times. Joy is far more important. Happiness depends upon what happens to you. Okay, it's circumstantial. If all the circumstances are right, then I'll be happy. But joy is something that comes from the inside, in the heart. It doesn't depend upon situations or circumstances. Christian author of the Chronicles of Narnia and theologian C.S. Lewis wrote this about Christianity and happiness. Listen to this. If you are seeking happiness, don't choose Christianity. Choose port wine. I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that. If you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. You believe that? He wrote that. C.S. Lewis. Who was an atheist and then became a Christian as he tried to prove that Christianity was not true, was false. And he comes out the other end, a Christian. And he said in his own very words, "I remember the day when I became a Christian. It was the saddest day of my life." C.S. Lewis said that. Sometimes this walk, this Christianity feels like that. Sometimes we look like that. It's the worst day in my life. But do you remember who the Apostle Paul is? Remember what he said? Perfectly content where he was in the center of God's will. Well, the center of God's will is cookies and creams, right? Isn't it? Isn't that way it always is? Surely, when I said the Lord's Prayer, that's what was guaranteed to me. Apostle Paul received the lashings, 40 minus 1 twice. He was shipwrecked a number of times. He was put in prison more than once. And he was crucified upside down. Talk to any of the disciples. Yeah, the Christian life is great. Come on, it's cookies and creams. It's a party all day. Only one died naturally. That was John. But the thing about the Christian life is that it's not based on circumstances. It's not based on, well, I'm not going to make my rent this month, or I'm going to struggle with that, or my boss didn't give me all these hours and I need these, or he gave me too many, and all that kind of thing. Joy is not circumstantial. Joy is what God gives to us. Joy is what God gives to us through the reading of His Word. Joy is supposed to be that mark of authenticity of a follower of God. Because we're not concerned so much about the here and now, because our eternity has been taken care of. Amen? It doesn't mean that we're not concerned about our day-to-day living and putting food on the table and getting to work and all these things. But God says what? He says, I already know what you need. Follow me. I'll provide what you need. Not necessarily what we want. Is there a difference? I could want $1 million. Who would be with me in that? I may want a new vehicle, but you know what? Do I need it? God hasn't blessed me with $1 million because He knows I might not be a good handler of that. He knows I might go off the rails and leave Him behind. How many times has that happened? When things get going good, how's your walk with God? It can tend to stray, can't it? But when things are going really bad, what happens? Most were right there with God, saying, I'll be good. I'll be good. Just bless me. His joy is not circumstantial. Happiness is circumstantial. If you talk about happiness and wanting to be happy, you're talking about the worldly view of being happy. I want all these things. I just get this one more thing and I'll be happy. Right? As a kid with a video game, right? I got my first Atari system, 2600. I was so excited. I was stoked. It was so great. Right? And it came with one game. What was the one game? Pac-Man. Right? I played that thing like crazy, right? And then it was like, after 2 weeks, I was like, Mom, I have another game. Got bored of Pac-Man. You never have enough. This will make me happy. No, it won't. It may make you happy for a temporal time, but it won't give you joy. And that belongs to God. That's in His arena. Am I a joyful person or am I just happy? Am I filled with the Spirit or am I merely religious? Do I go to God for my joy or do I go to the world for happiness? We can all get down. We can all have bad things happen. And we can be sad, but with a follower of Christ, there's always an underlying current of joy. Because that's the feed, the love of God, the hope of Christ. That's the river that should run through our life, is this joy. Because I know this world may not be great, but the one to come is awesome. The mark of a true follower of Christ is joy. We may not be a true follower of Christ if joy is not evident in our lives. And I say may. I don't say you're not. I say may. Maybe you're disconnected from God. Maybe, as one of my parishioners in Peace River said to me, going through a really tough spell, she says, Shannon, you've taken your eyes off Christ. And you've put your eyes down into your circumstances. Put your eyes on Christ. Did you know that the Israelites were instructed to rejoice by God? Deuteronomy 12:7 says, rejoice in all your undertakings in which the Lord your God has blessed you. To rejoice from God is a command, but for us it's also a decision. It's a choice at times, trusting that what the Lord God has asked, has planned, and has in mind is good and will be good. Even though it might be difficult, it might be stressing, and it might be painful. But God says, rejoice. The Apostle Paul, shipwrecked, imprisoned, stoned, whipped, crucified, said to the believers of Philippi and area, encouraging them to forego the world and its delicacies of happiness. As he said, some of those that were amongst us have indulged in. He says this in Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. What? Rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What's the center of that? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Rejoice because of what the Lord has done. Not because of what you want Him to do, but He is going to do something, and what He's done, He's saved your soul from death. And He cares about you, and He cares about the day-to-day needs that you have. He wants your heart. He wants your obedience. He wants our dedication. Do you remember that what the Apostle James wrote to the Jews of the diaspora who were fleeing for their lives at the hands of Roman persecution? Remember what he wrote? James 1:2-4 and 12. Consider it great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Blessed is the man who endures trials, because when he passes the test, he will receive the what? The crown of life that he, Jesus, has promised to those who love him. Okay, James, we just traveled a long ways. We've just been running from the soldiers, hiding out. All we got on our backs is the clothes and you know, barely have any food. And you're telling me to take joy in my persecution, in these trials. James is saying, don't look down here. Look up here. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Blessed are you who goes through the trials, endures those trials, because once you pass through those trials, the crown of life, your faith, will be mature, it'll be complete, it'll be coming to endure. And he says, the student is like the master. There's no difference. As we walk following his ways, his joy becomes our strength. What does this mean? Nehemiah 8:10. Our obedience to his will brings forth the joy of God who walks with us. He helps us answers prayers, blesses us, even does miracles. That's the joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. To please God, to love God, will bring us the joy of God. Not only in serving Him and obeying Him, but reading His Word. How can we know how to serve and obey Him if we don't know what His Word says, if we don't know what He wants? Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Who wrote that? Did you catch that? Remind me, who's Jeremiah? The weeping prophet, right? The weeping prophet. The one who was crying all the time. "Lord, release me. Let me go. I don't want to be here. I don't want to tell the people this thing. Okay, you're making me tell these people. They hate me." This is Jeremiah. "I ate your words and they were sweet and a joy to my heart." Psalm 112:1, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands." Great delight in his commands. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Psalm 1:2. Do we meditate on the Word? Do we spend as much time in the Bible as we should? These are the benefits. Joy. Peace. Dr. Warren Wiersbe writes this, "The secret of Christian joy is to believe what God says in His Word and act upon it. Faith that isn't based on the Word is not faith at all. It is presumption or superstition. Joy that isn't the result of faith is not joy at all. It is only a good feeling that will soon disappear. Faith based on the Word will produce joy that will weather the storms of life." Does that make sense? We are engaged in studying and reading our scriptures? Or is our Bible gathering dust? When is the last time we actually dug for treasure ourselves? The joy of the Lord does not come by osmosis or by having someone else share the nuggets with you once a week. Because I'm only a man. I'm only a man. One needs to feed themselves to experience the joy of the Lord and His blessings themselves. Pastor Wayne Cordero in Hawaii, what a great place to have a church, right? Shares a story about one of his youth pastors that came to him one day and said to him, "You know, I'm quitting. Here's my resignation." And Pastor Wayne said, "Well, why are you quitting?" "I'm not getting fed." "Oh, okay. Well, are you feeding yourself?" "No." "Okay, well, let's make a deal. I'll hold on to your resignation for 30 days. After 30 days of you reading your scriptures every day, you come back to me, and if you're still dissatisfied, then I'll accept your resignation." What do you think happened when he came back? Yeah, ask for a raise. Didn't want to resign anymore. Pastor Cordero told him a story. He said, "You know what? I have a son that lives with us. He's 18 years old. And if he comes to me one day and says, 'Dad, I'm hungry,' what do you think I'm going to tell him? There's the fridge. There's the stove. Make yourself something to eat." What if he doesn't and says, "No, I want you to feed me"? It doesn't work. He gets no joy out of that. We have to feed ourselves. Can't blame other people for your faith. That's yours. Just as your joy is, just as your love is. Are we digging for treasure ourselves? What are some of the things that are enemies of our joy? Well, we get caught up in maybe generational feuds. Well, we didn't do it that way. Or, wow, we wouldn't do it that way. All that does is it gets lost in pettiness, causes disunity. God is a lover of all people, all persons, all ways of worshiping Him. Neither is wrong, neither is completely right. But what is wrong is when we cause dissension. That causes banishment of joy and judgment because we hold a different point of view. Like, it would be like me saying, okay, everybody from now on, if you're not reading the Holman Christian Standard Bible, you need to leave. Right? You'd be going, no, this is the King James Bible. That's the true translation. I heard a gentleman, a pastor that preached that way off the East Coast. You guys probably know him. He died years back. But they still play his stuff up in Peace River on one of the radio stations. And he was so emphatic. If you're not in a church that the pastor's not preaching from the King James Bible, you need to get out. It's not a biblical church. My grandpa was that way. Grandpa and I had a talk. A second enemy of joy is what? Unresolved guilt. You got undealt with sin in your life? That's going to cause a damper on your joy. Unresolved issues, disunity with people, persons, family, whatever it is. It's going to rain on your joy. We know King David, right? He committed adultery and he felt enormous guilt over it. And he wrestled with guilt until he finally came to God in Psalms 51, 112 and prayed what? Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Maybe we need to pray that. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Because I've got caught up in the things that don't matter. In issues that have no issue before God. I get caught up in secondary issues instead of the primary issues. Church, work, family, whoever it is. Third enemy is wounded ego. Right? It's pride. Somebody wounded me. You know what? It was so hard and so harsh, I can't forgive them. Well, who's stealing your joy now? You are. The enemy is. Fourth enemy of joy is what? Unpleasant circumstances. Borders on happiness. That's where the confusion comes. Well, I'm a Christian. Everything should be peaches and cream. It's not. It's not. It's actually harder. Because we have a standard that we are to live by and walk by. And His name is Jesus. Jesus is that perfect example of joy. Because we have Palm Sunday. Right? And Jesus is going into Jerusalem and He knows what's going to happen. He knows He's going to lay down His life and He's going to be crucified. But He went with joy. What does He do? It's the night before the crucifixion of Jesus. He's in the upper room with His apostles. Soon He will be going to Gethsemane. Soon He'll be arrested and tried and convicted of crimes He did not commit. Soon they'll be laughing at Him. They will put a crown of thorns on His head and mockingly call Him the King of Jews. They'll slap Him, spit upon Him, whip Him with cat and nine tails. Soon His body will be nailed to the cross and He will die. And He knows that all of this is going to happen. It's not a joyful time. But then He says, this is to my Father's glory. He says to His disciples that you bear much fruit. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So he says to us. We're all going to have bad days, maybe bad months, maybe bad year. You know what? We've had a tough time. But we need to keep things in perspective as to what truly matters. And that's God, loving people, and keeping that fountain of joy running in our lives. Don't be distracted by those things that are outside of one's control or outside of what you can handle. Give those to God. Look for those opportunities. Those opportunities, like James says, these times that come are times of opportunities for joy. Because your faith will develop, you'll endure, and you'll receive the crown of life. Let's pray together. Father, we need your words today. We need your words of joy. Fathers, we know that in our daily lives, Lord, we have trouble. And that we can lose our sight on you. We can focus on our troubles so much, Lord, that they become all-encompassing and we have no joy. And it's gone, stolen. The enemy wants us to stay there. Father, bring us out of that. Remind us. Father, encourage us to read your word. Lift us up. Fathers, we follow in as we obey you. Lord, give us that measure of joy. Build it up in us. Father, help us to submit to your will, to your way, and experience your joy. And we'll be strengthened by your joy in us. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus.